Well, I wasn't expecting a call from you.
Well, you should have. Okay, first question is, when and where did you teach?
Well, I taught for, I'll start at the beginning. I started teaching in 1946 in a little town in Texas called Perryton. And I taught there first grade there for 3 years. And then I went to with the Panama Canal Zone, and I taught first grade there for 7 years in two different schools, one in a town called Margarita, and the other one at, she's on a tape recorder, and another one at, on an Army post called Fort Kobe. And then I didn't teach for a number of years. And when I started again, I hadn't been teaching for like 7 years. And so instead of going full-time, I substituted for 3 years. And I did substitute teaching in grades 1 through 4 for 3 years. And then after that, I taught kindergarten in Spokane, Washington, a district called Central Valley District. And I taught kindergarten for 15 years in one building at Progress Elementary, and then I taught 3 more years for the same school district in a different building on Green Acres Elementary. And then I retired in 1985.
What classroom do you remember the best?
What classroom do I remember the... Well, it depends. I think the one I liked the best was at Progress, the second room I was in. It was built for kindergarten. It had its own little restroom and its own water fountain. And the floor was heated because the children were on it a lot for the activities they did. And it had an outside entrance to its own playground and a little porch beside. It was just a room that was made specifically to teach kindergarten. Yeah, and I liked that room the best.
Okay. What was your relationship with your administrators like?
I had a very good relationship with all of my administrators except the last one. And while we got along all right, I wasn't comfortable with him. He expected too much. That he didn't realize that kindergarten was not exactly a quiet activity, and we were in a building, an open concept building, where we didn't necessarily have walls between us and the next room, and it was difficult to keep the children in a kindergarten atmosphere as quiet as he thought it should be in that kind of a building.
Was that a distraction for the other classes, or was that just his opinion?
Well, it was, we weren't close to any other classes except kindergarten classes, so I think it was more his opinion.
Okay. What was the administrator's job like?
The administrator's job?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in what respect,
What it says, I was just wondering, like, what they did as far as the interaction with the teachers. Did you have much contact with them on a daily basis, or?
Well, not too much on a daily basis. They, if we needed them to help with discipline, they did that. They came around and watched occasionally to see if we were doing an effective job, which is what an administrator is for. Most of them were very helpful to help you out with any problems you might have, to help organize any kind of meetings, that just generally supervise the running of the school. I mean, none of them were watching you all the time to see what you were doing, except most of them, except to be helpful in case you needed help.
Okay. Can you describe a student or a couple of students that you remember?
Well, I remember a lot of them. I have had many students that I remember. You tend to remember the exceptionally good ones. And the one I remember, the latest one, was a little girl who could read before she ever started the kindergarten. She was very mature in that way, but she was perfectly normal 5-year-old in other ways. She liked, socially, she was 5 years old. Physically, she was 5 years old. Mentally, she could read on the level of a sixth grade child and do math on level of a third grade child. But otherwise, I mean, she belonged with 5-year old children as far as socially was concerned. On the other hand, I had children who were not, I mean, some of them were not mentally capable of doing it, but they were not disciplined. They had never been disciplined at home, so they didn't know how to behave properly when they came to school, and it was too late to really teach them to do it by that time without just being really stern and more than you like to be with a child that age.
Did you ever have, like, children of students you'd had?
You mean, did I ever teach a child whose parents I had also taught?
Yes.
No, I never did.
Okay. How did you develop your curriculum?
Well, mostly you went by what you started with what your school had, your basic, when I was teaching first grade, you had your reading, whatever reading program you were using, like Scott Forsman or Houghton Mifflin or whatever it was, and they were, most of them had a set math program and a set reading program, what you had to teach, and other than that, you developed activities that would augment it, that would support it, that would teach the concepts that you were required to teach. In kindergarten, we mostly were trying to get them ready to read, so we taught phonics. We taught them to recognize letters and then the sounds of the letters. We taught them to recognize numbers and the concepts that those numbers stood for and things of that sort. You just took what you had to teach, started with what you were supposed to teach them, and developed activities that would do that. I took courses to teach me how to do that.
Did your schools have good funding, or did you find yourself in lack of funding?
The schools I taught with had quite good funding, yes.
Okay.
Sometimes they had to have a special levy, which the public voted on, to supplement what they got from the state.
Were you involved in any extracurricular activities?
Well, I went to PTA all the time, and but no, not on my level. The first grade children and kindergarten children didn't do like sports or anything of that, or band or anything of that sort. When they went home, they went home, and didn't have anything extracurricular. No.
Okay. Can you think of a historical event that happened during your career, and what was school like on that day?
Well, yes, one very historic one, which you will probably relate with, was the day Mount St. Helens erupted. It erupted on a Sunday, and the ash came over from, we were on the eastern side of the state in the mountain. The volcano was on the western side, but by, maybe 12 or 15 hours after the eruption occurred, the ash began to arrive here, and it came down and covered the ground and everything around it, and we had, our school was dismissed for a week before we started again, and after we started, everybody wore face masks that covered their mouth and their nose anytime they were outside, it was weeks before we allowed the children to go out on the playground again during recess. We had recess inside. And, no, I guess they didn't. It was in the spring. I don't remember what the high schools did for sports. They would have been playing baseball ordinarily at that time. I don't remember what they did. They discontinued the program. So, but that was one of the most historic things that ever happened, yes, while I was teaching.
Hey.
It affected my schooling, my school.
What were some of the most trying situations as a teacher?
Well, in my situation, the most trying situation, I suppose, was when I had an overloaded classroom at two times, two separate years when I was teaching first grade. I had 39 children enrolled, which is really an overload for trying to teach children that age when you're trying to teach them to read. And on two separate occasions, I had as many as 35 to 36 children in a kindergarten classroom. And when you're doing that, you are not so much teaching as babysitting, because there's just too many to have much of a learning situation.
What would you describe as your ideal classroom? Like, how many students? And
I would say an ideal, it depends, of course, on what grade level you're teaching and what you're teaching. For myself, at the grade level I had, I think an ideal classroom would be from between 18 to 24 children, approximately half and half divided between boys and girls. Not necessarily all of them A students. I mean, you'd want them fairly evenly divided according to their ability. And, of course, it's fun if you can have all top students, but you don't get that in a normal classroom. So you just hope so you don't have too many that are so low mentally that they hold the rest of the class back, because you have to give them too much attention.
Okay. When did you feel successful?
I felt successful when I could go home at the end of the day and feel that my students had accomplished the things that I had set as goals for them to accomplish that day. When they seemed to be able to do the work that I had set for them to do, and maybe a little more when they seemed challenged by what I had set out for them to do, but able to do it.
Could you describe a successful event in your career?
Well, now, what exactly do you mean by that, Stephanie?
Did you ever receive, like, any awards, or did the students ever do something that made you feel like you were really making a difference?
Well, I had a number of children who, when they went on to first grade, were taken into the Able Learners program, which would be the gifted children, and I don't know that they were any more able to do that because I had taught them than if any other teacher had taught them. But I some years I felt as if, well, I got through this year in spite of everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have any special high things that I mean, I was never voted the teacher of the year or anything like that. I got some about 3 years after I retired, I was honored with several other teachers that had been retired the same year I had, at a dinner by our school district.
What?
Not everyone who retired when I was retired. There were about 20 of us that night that we went to dinner and were honored, all retired teachers.
Can you describe the best aspects of being a teacher?
The best aspects of being a teacher? Well, it's the feeling of accomplishment that you feel when children learn to do what you have set out to teach them to do. In my case, for 10 years, if the majority or nearly all, you can't always say all of them, but if they learn to read when you're teaching first grade, and if they learn to do simple arithmetic and learn to express themselves in writing and speaking, then I felt as if I had really accomplished something, and I felt proud, yes. I mean, that's what I set out to do, and you feel a great deal of satisfaction from accomplishing that.
And what are the most challenging aspects?
Oh, well, it's most challenging when you have children who have started from way down. They don't come in. I mean, if they have not been given a lot of help at home, don't have a particularly strong background at home, their parents have not worked with them, and they come in and they start at the bottom. And when you can succeed with children like that, get them to learn to read and accomplish the things that they're supposed to accomplish then, or when they make progress, that's when you feel that way.
And what would be some advice you would give to anyone starting out in the teaching profession?
I would say get the best education you can, first of all, and then I would say be sure that you really want to be a teacher, because if you don't really want to do it, it can be very hard. You can go home with feeling very discouraged because you're not going to be paid a lot of money to do it, and it can be, you can have days where you feel so down because you don't feel as if you've done anything, but if you just be sure that that's what you want to do before you start.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome.
And let's get the tape recorder turned off.
I hope it works.